With me, we're going to be in the 10th division of the Psalms this morning. So I'm going to read the 10th Psalm, and I want to go ahead and read all of it. We're really just going to talk about one little part of it, but I find it difficult to pull out just one part of the psalm. Now, if it's a really long one, we'll do that. But this one's short enough we can read. That way we can get the whole idea in our minds, even though we're not going to really have time to talk about all of it. But so starting in the first verse of the 10th division of the psalm, the psalmist writes, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress." I want to direct your attention back to the 17th verse. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Now, you know, I enjoy reading the Psalms, although I admit that the Psalms don't always speak to me the same way that they speak to other people. I'm glad that God has given us His truth in so many forms. You know, I'm just not a very poetic person by nature. I tried to be when I was younger. I tried when I was, you know, in my early teens to write poetry and have an affinity for poetry. But it's not my nature. I like things a little more straightforward. And so, but I understand that someone who has the heart and the spirit of a poet, that the Psalms speak to them in a way that it doesn't always speak to me. But see, God has given us His truth in so many different forms that no matter what your temperament is, you can find a part of God's Word that will speak to you. Now, that's not to say that I don't understand or don't love some of the Psalms. I just, you know, it's like poetry. Yes, there are some poetry that I like, but as in general, I'm not a kind of person that sits down and reads a book of poetry. I've tried it. It just doesn't work for me, but I understand that many do. But the Psalms, as you know, is a book of songs, of poems, and was written by and large, by people that have a special gift to speak and to feel and to understand God in that poetic way. And so, in this psalm, and some scholars have said that maybe David wrote this, and others that perhaps it was written during the captivity period. But we see that the gist of the psalm is that the writer sees the wicked oppressing the poor, oppressing God's people, and that it goes on and it goes on to the point that the wicked even believe that God is not going to mete out justice or judgment unto them. But the writer understands that God does, in fact, hear the pleas of his people. And that's how he closes it out. And that's really what I want us to think about today. And this might seem like an odd passage to be thinking about closing out a new year or closing out an old year and starting a new year, but that's really what was on my heart as I came to this passage. And so my title would be Facing the New Year with Confidence. Facing the new year with confidence. See, the writer of this psalm, it starts out, he says, "Why standeth thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" The writer understands that there's great time of trouble for God's people all about, that the wicked are devouring them, that the poor and the helpless and those that rely upon the Lord are being downtrodden, and it appears as though the Lord is not coming to their defense. But the writer also understands that's not the whole story. And so he builds up and talks about all of the troubles and the trials that God's people are facing in the form of the adversary being the wicked of this world. But really this is about the persecution of God's people, about the troubles and the sorrows that God's people are facing. And it appears as though God is not doing anything to alleviate those sorrows, to alleviate those problems. God's not addressing them. And so that the persecutors are growing even more bold. But at the end, the truth abounds. And so he builds to this crescendo, and then he lays out the truth when he says that the Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of the land. God is king, and he's going to act as such. And the real important part here is that the Lord has heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. And that's what I want us to think about as we think about facing the new year with confidence. So in this verse, there's one fact and two assurances that I want to talk about. The first fact is that, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou hast, that's past tense, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. And you know, We can take assurance. We can take comfort. We can rely on that fact. We have example after example through the scriptures where God has heard the desire of the humble. Maybe not immediately, but we see that God has always heard the desire, answered the desire, vindicated the humble. Whether it was the children of Israel as a people, when they were down there in Egypt. We talked about this in Sunday school just a little bit, how that they were down there in Egypt where God had placed them for their protection. And you all know the story. And then that Pharaoh that knew Jacob died, and a new Pharaoh came, and he didn't know Jacob and Joseph. And the people began to be oppressed, and we know all those things. But eventually their cry, God heard them. He heard them in their humility, and he answered them. And we know he brought them up out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And time after time, we see examples of God hearing his people in their humility. When they humbled their heart, he heard their desires and he answered them. We see it on in Israel as a nation, and we see examples of individuals. I mean, the life of David is a beautiful picture of that. How many times was David chased away by Saul as he sought after his life, and he hid in the mountains and he hid in the caves, and he was a fear for his life, and he had to leave out of Egypt and he had to go over to the Philistines, and he was running and hiding because Saul was after him. But yet God heard him. God heard him and vindicated him. And eventually we know that David was brought to the throne, and all the things that God said were going to come to pass did come to pass. And you remember Elijah as he was up on Mount Carmel, and God had been punishing Israel because of the wicked king and the wicked queen, and they had turned unto Baal and all of those things. But when Elijah cried out, there on Mount Carmel, God heard his desire and he answered. And we have example after example throughout the Bible where this is true, that the Lord has heard the desire of the humble. And I think that each one of us, if we look back, those of us that are children of God, if we look back throughout this year and even in years past, we can see times when God has heard us. Has he not? Has there not been times in your life where God has heard the desire of the humble? And we can take heart from that. We can take comfort from that. Because we know if he's done it in the past, he's done it throughout the scriptures with those Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. He's done it in our own lives. If you've walked down this road with the Lord for very long, there have been times that God has heard the desire of your humbled heart before him. And he has answered. And so you can rest assured that he will in the future. He has heard in this past year through whatever sorrows and trials and tribulations that we might have faced as God's people, as individuals in our lives. There have been times that God has heard the desire of the humble, and he's answered. And if he's done that in the past, we can rest assured that he's going to do that again in the future. So if it's been true in the past, it'll be true in the future. The other thing I want to notice here is that the writer, he says that the Lord has heard the desire of the humble. He doesn't say prayer. Now, he means prayer, but he means so much more than that, doesn't he? He means so much more than that, because God doesn't just hear our prayers. Oh, he does, in fact, hear our prayers. But he hears more than our prayers. He hears our desires. What does it say over in the 8th chapter of Romans? Paul writes there, he said, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." Thank you, brother. A helper for my infirmities. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Yes, God hears our prayers, but so much more than just our prayers. He hears and understands the very desires of our heart. Before it's even given voice, as we're bowed down before him, God knows what is the desire of our heart. Before we even know what is the desire of our heart, God knows the desire of our heart. And I think it's important that he used the way that the psalmist writes that here. Because yes, he hears our prayers, but he hears so much more than that. He hears the very desires of our heart. Lord, thou hast heard the desire, not just the prayers, but the very desire, the innermost parts of our hearts, sometimes that aren't even known to us. God hears it. He hears the desires of the humble. The humble, that's important. He doesn't hear the desires of everyone. He hears the desires of the humble. Now, perhaps you have questioned in your own mind, in your own heart, whether you're humble or not. I know I have. But As I read and studied this, and I read some other commentators that said different things along this line. You know, that publican, you remember Jesus, when he gave the example of the Pharisee and the publican and how they prayed. He said, the Pharisee, he came and said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men, and I'm not a murderer, and I'm not a thief, and I tithe, and I'm not even like this publican. He said, but the publican, he said, he stood afar off, and he wouldn't even lift up his eyes. He just smote his breast, and he said, forgive me, Lord, a sinner. And Jesus said, which one of them do you think went up justified? And we know that it was the publican because he had truly humbled himself. See, he understood that he was nothing before the Lord. If you would have asked him, do you think you're humble? He would have said, I'm not humble. I'm not humble enough. None of us are humble enough. But listen, if you question your humility, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. It's the person that says, oh yeah, yeah, I'm pretty humble. You know, that the person that would boast and think that they're humble, they probably got a problem. Right? But if you question your humility before the Lord, if you struggle, when you go to pray and you struggle, say, Lord, I need to be more humble. Lord, help me find that place of humility that I need. You're on the right track. That's what the Lord is desirous. Because the humble heart understands that everything that we could possibly receive from the Lord is all of grace. Even the humility that we might have before God is of grace, and it's of nothing of us. The humble heart recognizes that everything proceeds from the Lord, that we stand with no merit before God, and that everything is grace from Him. That's the humble heart understands that. The humble heart seeks not for its own honor. The humble heart seeks not for its own honor, but for the honor of God. Do the things that you desire, do they magnify God, or do they magnify men, whether you or somebody else? See, the humble heart understands that it's all the grace of God, that the only thing we have to rely upon and stand upon is the grace of God. And the humble heart seeks not its own honor, but the honor and glory of God. Now that's what it means when it says God hears the desire of the humble. But what desires does God hear? We know it's not all desires. He doesn't just give all the desires of our heart, does he? No, he doesn't give all the desires of our heart. He gives the desires that, and he hears and has respect unto those humble desires that are in accordance with his will. What are the desires that that God hears? What are the kind? Now, this is not an exhaustive list by any means, but I think this would help us get onto the right track. You know, the very first thing is that he hears the desire of the lost to be saved. I don't believe he hears much of anything else from the lost, but he hears the desire to be saved. When a lost soul cries out for grace, when a lost soul is repenting unto God, when a lost sinner is begging for Jesus to come and make them whole, when a lost sinner is pleading for the blood to be applied to their heart, that desire, whether it's voiced in words or whether it's just in the groaning of their spirit, God hears that. He hears that. That is a desire that God hears, is the desire unto salvation. And that's what we need to continue to proclaim out into this lost and dying world. There's all kinds of people making claims on God and on the Bible. And I'm afraid that there are all kinds of lost people making all kinds of prayers, and God's not hearing any of those prayers. But I'll tell you the one prayer, the one desire from a lost soul that God will hear, and that is the desire for salvation. Because God desires that they might be saved. Does he not? Did he not send his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life? God desires that you be saved if you're lost. God desires that everybody that knows him not would come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and find salvation. That's God's desire. And he hears the desire of the heart of those that cry out to him for salvation. That is a desire that God hears. For those that have been saved, for those of us that are walking this walk and trying to serve the Lord, what desires that we might have does God hear? Well, I believe that he hears when we have a desire for the salvation of our loved ones, for our friends, for our family, for our co-workers, our neighbors, this lost and dying world. God hears that desire. And when we earnestly desire that souls would be saved, God hears that desire of our heart. And he has respect unto it. That is a humble desire. Because it doesn't glorify man. It doesn't glorify this world. It glorifies God. Do we desire the salvation of our friends, of our families, of our neighbors, of those that we come in contact with? We ought to. And when we have that kind of desire, true desire in our heart, God will hear that. He hears that desire. Another desire from God's children that he hears is the desire of, Lord, guide me. Guide me today. Guide me tomorrow. We're about to embark upon a new year. I believe that God hears an honest desire in our heart if we have a desire to be led of him. God, lead me through this next year. Lead me through this next week, this next whatever period of time, or this thing that I have to do, or this whatever set before me. God, guide me. God, that's a desire that God hears. When that's our prayer, when that's our desire, God will hear that from us. Do we not all desire more guidance from God? I think we do. I don't always pray it as often as I should, but that is something that God has respect unto. He hears the desire of our heart when we desire, Lord, guide me through this next thing that I have in my life. He also hears, Lord, glorify thyself in me. Glorify thyself in me. Not glorify me, but glorify thyself in me. That is a prayer to be used of God. Whatever it is that we have set before us, whatever job that God may have given us in his service, for preachers, Sunday school teachers, song leaders, whatever it might be, whatever other job that you might have, do we not believe that whatever it is that we do in this life, we can do to the glory of God? Sure we can. Sure we can, but we need to desire that. We need to pray to that end. We need to take that before the Lord and say, God, I desire that you would glorify yourself in me. Maybe it's in something that I'm already doing. Maybe it's in something that I can do better. Maybe it's in something that I haven't even thought of, Lord. Maybe it's in a job or a service or something that has not even yet come before me. But Lord, if there's something out there that I can do that you would be glorified in, Lord, help me to do that. Lord, glorify thyself in me. See, those are desires of the heart that God has respect unto. Again, those are not, that's not an exhaustive list, but I think that's a good place for us to start. That's a good place for us to start as we go into this new year. We can go with confidence knowing that God will hear the desire of the humble. Right? So we just need to make sure that we stay humble before God. We keep God where he belongs, way up here. And we keep ourselves where we belong, way down here. And we, now I'm not saying that there aren't other desires. Again, I said it's not an exhaustive list. But This is a good place. This is a good place. If you're lost, if you're lost, if you don't know the Lord this morning, you need to start with an honest and an earnest desire to be saved. An honest and an earnest, true, and compassion and compelling desire to be saved, to know God and the free pardon of sin. He will hear that. He will hear that desire. And for those of us that are saved, do we want to have a greater burden for our friends, for our loved ones, for souls? I do. I don't have the burden for souls that I want to have. But I think if I take that before the Lord, if I have a true desire for that, truly a desire to see others saved, God will hear that. He will hear that desire. Lord, guide me. Guide me. Wherever it is that we've got to go, whatever lays before us, let us desire that God would guide us through His Word, through His Spirit, through all the different ways that He manifests Himself in our lives. Let us truly desire that God would guide us. And let us truly desire that He would be glorified in us. That everything that we do would bring glory and honor to God. Not to us, not to the church, not to anything else, but to God. To bring honor and glory unto God. If those things lay at the center of the desires of our heart, God will hear that. He will hear that. We can rest assured. And so that's a fact. That's a fact that God has heard the desire of the humble. Let our desires be those things that God has respect unto and that He hears and that glorify and magnify Him. Now, He follows that fact up with two assurances. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Now there is the heart of the humble, those that He hears. He will prepare their heart. You know, wise people make preparations in this world. And I don't think there's anything wrong with God's people making wise and prudent preparations. We lay up for the winter time. We lay up for the future. I hope you've got a savings account. I hope you've got a pension or a 401k or all those things. And we got health insurance. And you know, we make provisions. We try to prepare for the future. And there's nothing wrong with that. We ought to do that. But you know what really needs to be prepared for the future, for tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and whatever lays ahead that we don't know about? Our hearts. Our hearts need to be prepared for that. Over in Proverbs, it says that out of the heart proceed, guard thy heart, for out of it proceed the issues of life. Guard thy heart, for out of it proceed the issues of life. Well, you and I ought to know that we can't guard our own heart. God does the guarding of our heart. But He guards it, and He keeps it, and He prepares it. God prepares our hearts. How does He do that? Well, first of all, He prepares the lost to receive Christ. If you're lost here today, it's God that prepares your heart to receive Him. You cannot prepare your own heart, but you've got to desire, back to the desire to be saved, desire that God would make those preparations in your heart. Over in Acts, it tells us, Acts 16 and 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. See, God opened Lydia's heart. Before Paul even went there, he just went down there because that's where some people were gathered, and God prepared Lydia's heart. Don't we desire that God would prepare our heart for whatever's coming around the corner? Prepare our heart to receive the good word. Prepare our heart to for the person that we might meet around the corner. Prepare our heart for the conversation we might get to have, for the question that somebody asks us. Whatever it might be, that God would prepare our heart. See, we make preparations in this life for the future. We don't know what's going to happen around the corner, but we make calculated guesses. We make assumptions. Well, this thing might happen, this thing might happen, this thing. And so we make preparations to meet those eventualities. God is the one that prepares our heart for what may be coming. Because see, we don't know, but He knows. He'll prepare our heart. He prepares the lost to receive Christ. He prepares the saved to receive more of Christ. Do you want to know more about Jesus? Do you want your heart, do you want to understand more about the Lord, about His grace, about His mercy, about His love? I'm not talking about more, you know, we've done some studying on some different things on Wednesday nights, and you know, there's a whole lot of the religious world that they think knowing more about God is getting in to search out these deep, dark questions. You know, all of these things that men have argued about, had different opinions about down through the ages. And there's nothing wrong with studying those things, but we have to keep those in place. That's not what it means to know more about God. To know have some deep opinion on some fine point of doctrine. That's not what it means to know more about God. What it means to know more about God is to understand more about His love, to understand have a deeper experience of His grace, have a deeper experience of Christ working in us and through us and manifesting Himself to the world through us, to just be washed over with the grace of God, to be humbled by God. That is a deeper understanding. And God prepares. We don't have to prepare our minds for that, so that we can understand more, fine points of Scripture. And I like to understand fine points of Scripture. But listen, I also know that what it takes is a preparation of my heart to understand the love and the grace of God on a deeper level. He'll prepare our heart to receive more of Jesus Christ, to understand more, to be filled up more with the love of Jesus Christ. But God does that. He prepares the heart to do that. He'll prepare us, our hearts, for the duties that we are to perform. There are things that we must do in this life, especially things that we must do in our Christian walk. Some of them are laid out before us. I know that every Sunday I'm going to have stand and preach. If you teach Sunday school, you know every Sunday you're going to teach Sunday school. If you're a song leader, there are certain things we know what the duty is, but yet we need our hearts prepared by God, don't we? Whatever it is that you have to do, you need your heart prepared by God to face that duty. But then there are other things, duties that will come upon us that we don't know about, but God knows about. I don't know what this year, 2024, holds for me. I have some ideas, but God throws curveballs all the time. Life doesn't always go the way that we think it's going to go, does it? You all have walked down that road, you know. What duties might be laid before you that you don't even know about? How are you going to be prepared for them? Let God prepare your heart. Let God prepare your heart to fulfill those duties, known and unknown. Right? Well, again, we might have known duties down the road, but then we're going to have unknown duties. We're going to have things that come up that we don't know anything about, and we're going to have to trust in God that He has prepared our hearts. But we have to lay our hearts out before Him to do that. And He will prepare us for the suffering that we are to endure. Now, we're all adults here, most of us. We're not foolish enough to think that there's not some levels of suffering that lay ahead of us in this next year. We all know that. We don't know what it might be. It might be just a little bit. It might be just the normal course of suffering, or it might be some great amount of suffering that lays before us this year. It may be suffering in just the things of this life, sickness, losing loved ones, whatever it might be. It may be suffering and persecution for the Lord's sake. We don't know what lies ahead of us, but all of us have been down this road long enough to know that there is some level of suffering that lays ahead of us in this year. It's not going to be all roses the next 365 days. How do we meet the suffering that lays ahead of us? Whether it's just a little bit or whether it's a lot. God will prepare our hearts for that suffering. You all know that what separates the Christian from the infidel is not that we are spared certain things in this life. We suffer right along with everybody else. We'll suffer the same sicknesses. We'll lose loved ones. All of those things that happen to the infidel will happen to us. But what is the difference? God will see His children through. How will He do that? He will prepare our hearts. He will prepare our hearts to receive that suffering, to be instructed by it, to make our way through it, to draw closer to Him because of it. All that will happen because He will prepare our hearts for that. And so that is an assurance that we can look forward to the next year with confidence, knowing that, as it says in our scripture, Thou wilt prepare their heart. The humble, our hearts, you and I, He will prepare our hearts for the things that lay ahead. To receive more of Jesus Christ, to get to know Him more, to receive more of the love of God, to comprehend the grace of God more. To meet the duties that are laid before us, known and unknown. How will the work get done that is laid before us by God? It will get done because He will prepare our hearts. And He will prepare our hearts to meet whatever suffering that might lay ahead of us in this next year. God will prepare our hearts for it. And the final assurance that He gives us, Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. God will hear. He will hear and He will answer. This is an assurance. We have it in Scripture. Let me read you some Scriptures. Exodus 3 and 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. He said, I have heard my people. He heard and He answered, didn't He? Isaiah 65 and 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. God assures through the prophet Isaiah that He will hear. Before you even call, I will answer you. While you're yet speaking, I will hear what you have to say. God has made many promises that He will incline His ear. He will bend down His ear, even to our feeble cries, He will hear them. Jeremiah 33 and 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Oh, what a promise from God. Call unto me, and I will hear. That's what He said. Call unto me, I will hear. That's what the psalmist says. Thou wilt cause thy ear to hear. Another psalm, Psalm 77 and 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. How many times have the children of God, how many times have God's people called out unto Him and He has heard? It's an assurance. He will incline His ear to hear and to answer. The New Testament, Peter, 1 Peter 3 and 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. His ears are open unto the prayers of His people. And finally, 1 John 5 and 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. John said, whatever we ask according to His will. Well, what's according to His will? Well, there's a lot of things. Again, I didn't give you an exhaustive list, but we went over some of the things. Some of the desires of our hearts that God will have respect unto. And He will then prepare our hearts. And He will incline His ear to hear us. God hears and answers our prayers. These are the facts and the assurances that the psalmist has left for us. And it's this that I want us to think about as we face the new year, that we might face it with confidence, knowing that whatever, and I don't know what the new year will bring for each one of us personally, the triumphs and tragedies that we will face in this year, but I know there'll be some. There'll be triumphs and there'll be tragedies. It's been that way every year, hasn't it? I don't know what those things will be. I don't know what the bigger things that are happening. You all watch the news the same as I do. There's troubling things happening in the world. Very troubling things happening in the world. I don't know what the future is going to bring on that regard. What's going to happen to our monetary system? What's going to happen to our government? What's going to happen to any of those things? I don't know. But God knows. But whether it's good or whether it's bad, Whether we find much triumph or much tragedy, perhaps persecution will come. Perhaps we will see the wicked begin to prosper, and we'll see evil turning on our street corners even more than it is now. I hope that's not the case, but maybe it will be. I don't know. But listen to what the psalmist said. He said, even when it seemed like the wicked were advancing on every front, when it seemed like the poor and the destitute and the downtrodden and the people of God were called out, and all that was happening is that they were being ground down into the dirt even more, he said, but I know that God hears the desire of the humble, and He prepares their heart, and He inclines His ear. And it's with that confidence that we can go into the new year. And I'm not that worried about what it might bring, because we can rest upon this, that God will hear the desires of our humble hearts. He will prepare our hearts for the things that we need to do and the things that we need to endure. He will prepare us to receive more of Him, to understand more of Him. And He will incline His ear to hear us and to answer our prayers. That's the confidence that we as His children can go into the new year with. And I hope that it does give you confidence. Whatever else is raging out there, whatever we may face as God's people, or whatever we may face as individuals, and we will all have our own individual struggles, whatever they might be, God will be there. He will hear. He will prepare, He will incline His ear, and He will answer. That is what we can take into the new year. I hope that that gives you some confidence. Brother Mike, if we can get a song, appreciate y'all hearing me today.
Page 102. That sermon was a whole lot for me, Pastor. I appreciate that these things coming at that meeting this afternoon. I'll take up a few things. But the Lord will prepare my heart and the hearts of my brothers and things that really is. Through it all, I think this song fits.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't bother. for the future. For I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver light. There the sun is always shining. There no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
I don't know
about tomorrow. Stands by me, and the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.